This is the Ripple Effect with your girl K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's your girl K-Dot back in the Ripple Effect. You already know what it is. You already know the vibes. Playoff basketball is lit. Tyson Fury knocking people out. Maybe he's done knocking people out. Think he's done everything he could possibly do. Just as a fan of boxing, I know I'm no expert by any means and don't claim to be, but I love to watch it. It's fun. Along with Errol Spence. I like that dude. I like his tenacity, Errol Spence Jr. But anyway, I'm here watching this Bucks-Bulls game. Honestly, it's a pretty boring game. Bulls are doing everything they can do, but even without Middleton, the score right now is 92-76. And it's still early in the fourth. You know, only a minute went by, but I must say it's not looking good. So, as you know, I've been on my social media heavy, trying to figure out what's been going on with the Nets, and it's easy. It's like we don't even need to overcomplicate it, right? It's the fact that they have no cohesion together, they have no chemistry, they have no real leader, and ultimately they have no real culture there. And that's always my biggest knock with the Knicks even, you know, but that's a whole nother story. But when you don't have true leadership coming from the top, all, trickling all the way down, it's a problem. You know, when you have star players saying, you know, we don't need a coach, you know, we can pretty much just coach ourselves, like that's part of the issue. You need somebody who's going to come in there and command the respect of superstars so that way everybody else falls in line. Not to mention, you also need somebody who's been in these positions before. Steve Nash, I think he's a good guy. I think he can become a good coach. But right now, obviously, it's just not fair to even evaluate him, because at this point, he should have never been put in that position. Like, I know everybody wants to jump on him and be like, oh, you know, he's terrible, he's this. You know what? I'm just saying he should have never been hired. It just doesn't make any sense. It's like, what you see is what you get. When people wondering why I said that, why shouldn't he have been hired? You're seeing it right now. That's why. He wasn't ready for this type of responsibility. And it's kind of the same thing with Frank Vogel. You know, I do think he should definitely lose his job, you know, after this season. Right now they're down 3-0. Like, they said no team in history has ever come down from 3-0 to come back to win the series. So Ben Simmons is coming back for game 4. Some people really think that won't make a difference, but honestly speaking, Ben Simmons is really not going to be asked to do much besides what he was doing before. And he was so great at it that he was an all-star. So I know people forget, but he still can defend and he still can pass the ball. Those are the only two things that the Nets are really going to be asking him to do, because at the end of the day, there is only one ball and you don't need Kevin Durant, you know, anybody else shooting besides Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving. You got Seth Curry coming off the bench. Like, you don't need anybody else shooting. You really don't. That's not what they're looking for. They do need defense. They do need someone with good basketball IQ. You also need somebody who's going to set KD up, because KD is getting hammered. Like, that defense got him shook. Real talk. I mean, we got to give it to KD now. I feel like we've been really nice. We've been kind of, you know, placating him in a sense because of everything he had to deal with this season, between James Harden leaving and part-time Kyrie and not having maybe the coach that they probably would have needed for these type of moments. But you know what? Be that as it may, it doesn't matter. It does not excuse him, because we put him up there with LeBron. Some people were saying that he's better than LeBron. So if we're going to sit there and have that conversation, then we got to have this conversation. Kevin Durant is no LeBron. Let's face it. When he won those championships, defenses had a tough time with Klay and Steph as it is. And then, of course, when you add Durant on there, it's like you'll see times where Steph is getting doubled and, you know, Kevin Durant was getting wide open for shots. Kevin Durant needs to understand that the Nets are no Golden State Warriors. Whatever they think that they're trying to build over there, that's cool, but they're not there. The Golden State Warriors took years in draft and good draft picks, not to mention picking a good coach, even though He didn't have no good, no experience coaching. GM experience, but no coaching experience. But that's not something that you would want to, you know, take to the bank. You know, sometimes anomalies work out, right? There are always outliers in every situation, but it doesn't mean that's going to be the end all be all. You know, that may be Steve Kerr may be the exception to the rule, but he isn't the rule. Feel me? So they do need to make a change, and I think by bringing in Ben Simmons, I think you are going to see a change, and the conversation and the narrative actually might change slightly. I'm going to stick to my pick. I always said Boston in seven. I said it was going to be a long series. I said there's going to be a lot of adjustments that need to be made on both sides. Tatum is emerging. You know, people like Paul Pierce are already ready to put him above KD, you know, and that's saying a lot, right? Two-time MVP and KD, and you can say, you know, well, he joined a 72-win team. I get it, but I'm not ready to do that yet. Tatum, he keeps playing the way he's playing. Let him get to the finals. Let him get to the Western Conference Finals with his team. And, yeah, we can start having that conversation. Let's see what he's able to do. Because he has Jaylen Brown as well. You know, let's not say Jaylen Brown is doing his thing on both sides of the ball, and so is Tatum. You have Marcus Smart, who's a dog, who's making KD's life hell. You know, you have Robert Williams back. They have so many guys over there that's just willing to get after it, and they just want it more and more. And you just got to love that, the way they're playing. They're not living up. They're not just sitting back and just saying, well, I'm playing against KD and Kyrie. What do you expect? No, these guys, they're not scared. They're not only rising to the challenge, they're up 3-0 on them. Why? Because Ime Udoka did a great job in establishing a culture, or just continuing that legacy of culture with the Celtics. They understand what 17 championships mean. They understand the organization and what they represent when they put on that uniform. Their fans have been behind them all year, doing their thing. You can't be nothing but proud of these guys. I get it. If you're a Nets fan, then bump that. I get it. You're just upset that things didn't work out the way you thought they would. But at the end of the day, the series isn't over, guys. I know it looks like it may be over, and it's a very good chance it could be over. But I really think that Ben Simmons is going to be a game changer. If he does play and Nash does monitor his minutes, I hope he does look for some advice, whether that's outside advice, because even the substitutions of Steve Nash, I don't like. I don't even like. He's not even making those timely timeouts. When the other team, you can tell the momentum is starting to switch in the game. That's when you want to call that timeout. Settle the guys down. Cool them off. Get, you know, set up a good play coming out of, you know, that timeout. That way you can get that easy bucket. Nice, you know. But it's like you don't see any of that. I see them very rattled. Even last night, they just didn't seemed like they cared. I didn't see the sense of urgency, and even like the way, you know, Kyrie Irving answers questions. I'm not a fan. So, of the Nets, you know, it is what it is. I chose the Celtics in this series for a couple of reasons, but mainly because I just like their defensive effort and what they've been able to overcome. Like, I like the fact that they proved me wrong and saying that, you know what, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown can play together. They can get it together, along with Marcus Smart, you know, leading them in on the defensive end and kind of taking charge, you know, being that Draymond Green, you know, over at the Celtics. I love it. Being defensive player of the year. There's a reason why he got that. There's a reason why, even though there was a lot of, you know, back and forth about it. Come on. At the end of the day, when you look at the Celtics, where they were, and then all of a sudden, Christmas, you know, day games, and then beyond, and then the All-Star break, and just the way they went on that run, you could tell that they were serious. They were clicking at the right time. And that's all you need. You need to be clicking at the right time. See, the Nets never had that, obviously, that cohesion. Why? Because they didn't have their full group together. You know, whether it was KD was out or Kyrie was out for different reasons, people need to understand they underestimate chemistry. They think you could just throw a bunch of talented guys together and think it's just going to happen. No, even the big three in Miami, when you had Dwayne Wade, you know, LeBron and Chris Bosh together, it still took them a year. You know, it takes a lot of sacrifice. It takes a lot of ego setting aside. I think that's why when Boston decided to assemble their big three, when they had, you know, Paul Pierce and Ray Allen and Kevin Garnett, it's because they were already, some people would say past their prime, in their prime, whatever you want to say, but they were at the point where they were willing to compromise because they saw what being the quote-unquote man was like, right? They can easily, you know, take their franchise, you know, just kind of put it on their back, maybe not be able to reach that threshold of getting that championship, but they know they can put up points and be Hall of Famers. Like, we all know that. But they wanted more. They wanted to win. So when you want to win, you got to make sacrifices, right? What's that old saying? If you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together. Well, that's what it's going to be. Kyrie can't be doing all that dribbling around. He has to find better ways to get good shots to Kevin Durant in particular. You want to get him going because you see the way they're not even letting him touch the ball. And the minute he does, forget it. They're double tripling him. He can barely even see over them. How many turnovers has he had? I mean, it's crazy when you see the amount of turnovers. And that's not normal Kevin Durant basketball. But at the end of the day, we have to put some of that on Kevin Durant too because he's capable of creating his own shot, right? We would have if – let's be honest. I know there's a lot of people out there, you know, that, I mean, pretty much talk about LeBron all the time in such a negative light, right? And let this had have been LeBron James. Y'all would have killed him. Like, nonstop, all over the place, plastered, you know, every play, especially all those turnovers. Like, I'm not trying to say we should start hating on KD at all. But at the same time, I'm like, you guys got to give that same, keep that same energy, though. You can't be going so hard on LeBron and not give it to KD. Because right now, KD should be stepping up and he should be showing why we consider him to be one of the greats up there with LeBron James. But the way he's looking right now, and I see all these memes, you know, with Kyrie Irving looking at KD like, man, I ain't have this much trouble with LeBron. Like, I mean, it's real, though. Come on, we got to say that. Like, we got to say, like, KD is no LeBron. Unless he does something, like, to take over this series and to get past Boston in a Game 7 situation, then I'm open to it, you know? I'm not going to be close-minded to it. But right now, I don't like what I'm seeing. And we can't put you in that same air as LeBron James if this is the way you're going to play and if this is the way you're going to have excuses. And I didn't like, if we're going to go with talk about post-game conferences, I didn't like Steve Nash's either. Talking about they got to be tired, Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. He was saying they got to be tired. What? What are you talking about? Why are you tired? I don't want to hear about Kyrie Irving being tired. Come on, dude. They said since he's been with the Brooklyn Nets, he's only played about 47% of the games with them. 47%, not even 50%. Come on, man. Don't tell me you're tired. Kevin Durant, I understand he had to, but still, I don't want to hear it. You won the first round, dude. If you're tired now, then what's the point? What's the point? You don't think the Celtics are tired locking KD up? You don't think they're tired? You don't think, the Joker is tired? You know, not playing with, you know, with Jamal Murray used to be scoring like, what, 50 points? You know, especially when he was in the bubble. Like, you don't think he misses that 50 points? Come on. You don't think they miss Michael Porter Jr.? You don't think the Mavs missed Luka, even though Luka came back and, you know, gave him some. But come on, it's like all over the league, there's been injuries. And even leading up, like, look at what the Timberwolves have been doing. Look at what they've been doing. Like, Kat, like, shout outs to you, bro, because I was starting to think that maybe you not built for the playoffs. But thank you for having that big game, having, like, what, 33, 34-point game, getting in them rebounds. I love it, man. You just got to smarten up with your moves, man. I feel like he gets so excited. He gets the ball, and he knows what he wants to do. And the defenders, you obviously know that they're watching film. They know how to defend you, and you get frustrated, and you kind of lower that shoulder, and it's an offensive foul every time, man. You just clean that up. I'm telling you, just clean that up, man, and you guys will be good, and you guys will upset Memphis. You guys are letting them know that you want the smoke too, letting Memphis know. I appreciate that. So that's why it bothers me when I hear about all these excuses from the Nets, when you just look around the league and you're like, yo, there's other teams that are not making no excuses. The Bulls are doing everything they can right now, and they are getting whooped, and they're not making no excuses. The 76ers, when they're over there playing, and I'm watching their game, and I'm like, they're not, you know, when they're playing Toronto, and Toronto is not, I don't hear them talking. I do not hear them making any excuses. Come on, they got to play against James Harden and Embiid, even though James Harden doesn't look 100% like himself. I don't know what's going on with that. I don't know if we have to start looking at him a little differently or if he's just injured and maybe we're going to find out later. I don't know what that is. But my point is that Toronto is not complaining. So it's like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. There's a lot of good series going on right now, or just a lot of good games. I just love the fact that I'm not seeing any blowouts. These games are like 1-2. I mean, I love the way the Utah Jazz stepped up last night, Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell. Man, because I told you, I was ready to just be like, you know what, break them all up. I know Dwayne Wade's a minority owner, and I'm so glad that he is in the culture that they're continuing to do, to have and to spread over in Utah. But they got to figure out something. Because, like, that's just hard to watch the way they were just getting dominated and Luka wasn't there. I mean, but big props to Brunson. I mean, I used to watch Brunson play when he was in college, and dude can ball. That 41 game is not a fluke. I believe there will be more to come as soon as he's able to, you know, to get his number called more often. He's going to be that guy. He's going to be that dude. So let's not sleep on him and not just completely, you know, blame Utah, because this is the emergence of other players in the league letting you know that. Because this, let's face it, this is the ultimate stage. This is the playoffs. All eyes on them. You know, football's not here right now, but the draft is coming up soon, folks. So we will be discussing that and figuring out, you know, what big moves teams are about to do, because, you know, it's going to be crazy over there in the NFL. But anyway, good games coming up. You got Golden State and Denver coming up after this. But y'all stay tuned. But for right now, these games, I don't know, man. Like I said, I don't know about the Nets. I heard a lot of frustration over my social media, and I appreciate you guys, you know, supporting and definitely giving me your take. Because I know if you're a fan, you're frustrated 100%, and you should be. Nobody's taking that away from you. I'm not gonna say otherwise, because I do not blame you. But I do like how teams are coming out. Like I said, Jazz is coming out. Bulls still trying to fight, even though it kind of is what it is on that front. And by the way, I don't know what was going on in that Memphis game. I'm not talking about the actual game, because I know the Timberwolves won, rightly so. I'm talking about this, like, protest that they're doing that. Some people just seem to keep jumping out on the court and having to get tackled by security. And shout outs to the security, though, for that fast reaction time, you know, and that tackle. I hope there were some Giant scouts in the audience, because we can use some tackling like that on the Giants, you know. But no, for real, if you guys have any info about why somebody is risking it all to do something like that and what that protest may be about over there in Memphis, let me know. Because that didn't just happen once. I believe that happened 3 times. It was someone trying to glue themselves to the floor. Another one was trying to chain themselves to the basketball hoop. Another one just throwing themselves in the middle of the court. Just let me know. If you have any info, please let me know. That would be great to find out why people are behaving the way they are. But on that note, I appreciate you guys listening. You already know. Always remember, losses equals life lessons. I'm out. Peace.
This is The Ripple Effect with your girl K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.